Father, what we have sung, there's so much value, there's so much insights in these words that we have sung. And the incredible joy and the privilege that we have here is that we can speak in the name of Jesus that carries that all authority as we speak with a heart full of faith. And so we want to thank you in how you're teaching us and how you're healing us and what you're sharing with us, because it's so clear that you are moving, you are taking us deeper into a greater level of life with you to bring about your incredible destiny for a nation and for the nations. And we can be part of this. We can participate with you in a most incredible way. Father, you are giving us such purpose. You're giving us such an incredible fulfilled life in the way we can just minister together with you in what you're wanting to do. So it's a real joy for us to be able to come and be in the place where we can say, our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, and to know that we are involved with this here on earth. So we want to thank you as you just clarify, as you minister to us this morning, and we receive, Holy Spirit, we receive everything that Jesus has done in bringing about this most incredible oneness with the Father, with Jesus, and with you, Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Jesus. You walked with your disciples after you ascended. They understood what you meant when you said all authority has been given to you, and how you've commissioned them, and you worked alongside them by the power of the Holy Spirit and did mighty works, and you saw how the kingdom of yours began to grow and grow and grow, and how it's impacting us today. So we thank you for the privilege. Amen. Amen. Good morning, morning, morning. Just to give a bit of an introduction. I think all of us have got a lot of testimonies of faith and what we would say maybe the failure of faith. I know for myself, I've got many testimonies. I've prayed for two dead people to be raised from the dead, and none of them got raised from the dead. And I believed. And so there's a lot of our life where we believed, and yet we find things didn't work out as we believed. And that can cause hurt, that can cause sort of a lot of doubt, that can prevent one from once again just believing and going out with boldness to pray. And there's many, many reasons why we sometimes find that there's a bit of a blockage that's within us when it comes to really walking in a true faith that God has given to us. And so this is what our Lord wants to help us to get healing in this area, to be able to understand how we can have faith and understand how we can have unbelief and how unbelief affects the faith, it blocks the faith, and how it works and what's all involved with unbelief, and to be able to experience just the healing of Jesus. And so we've been singing one word, the authority of one word. And what Jesus wants to communicate to us this morning, his word has all his authority to bring about total healing and to help us in our journey of faith. When we speak about the righteous will live by faith, That's quite a statement when the Hebrew writer says, it's impossible to please God without faith. That's quite a statement. So we need to understand a little bit more. We need to get healed in the area of faith so that we can really just share life more and more with God. And so today we wanted to start, and we might need to do this over 2 Sundays. I'm not too sure. We'll just see how the time goes. I'd like us to go to let's go to Mark chapter 9 first of all. And let's just read from verse 14. This is when Jesus is coming down with Peter, John, and James, the Mount of Transfiguration. And when, remember when they walked down, here in verse 14, when they came down to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. Now he has deep insight to understand unbelief and what prevents faith from operating. So there's a large crowd around them and the teachers are arguing, of the law are arguing with them. So you have the teachers of the law, the religious teachers, arguing with the crowd, arguing with the disciples. All that is taking place. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Interesting. Why are you arguing with them? What are you arguing with them about? He said. And then a man in the crowd answered, Teacher, brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams. I love that. Listen to the description now, because that's important to understand what influences one's faith. And so you've got the arguments, you've got the crowd, you've got this father coming about his son, and he's describing the condition of his son, rob him of speech, he can't speak when he's got this spirit demon on him there, and it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, so that you can imagine the father's heart, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Now, just before this, Jesus had given them the authority to go into all the towns and drive out spirits, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and they did it. They did it. And here now, the situation, and it's not working. Something's wrong. It worked before, but now this is not working. Why is it not working? And so they're carrying on, and he says over there, asked the disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And Jesus says, oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has it been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Notice this, if you can do. But if, very, very important word this, but if you can do anything, okay? And this in the Greek, this word if is like it's emphasizing something very profound. It's a very strong if you can, you know. It's like, no, you can't, but if you can kind of stuff. If you can do anything, I wonder if God can redeem a nation. I wonder if God can save our family members. See, I think we can identify with the Father here. if you can heal, if you can do this, if you can do that, Jesus. We believe you, but You know, that's why there's faith and there's unbelief. And so he carries on and he says over there, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And look at Jesus' reply in verse 23. If you can, said Jesus, everything in your little if, everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. That is so powerful because Jesus is not rebuking him here. Jesus is not saying, no, you've got a wrong understanding about faith. And that, he's not doing that at all. And when Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. One word, you deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you to come out and never enter again. And the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently and came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, look, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet and he stood up. And then the disciples had gone indoors. His disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind comes only by prayer. And some translations will have prayer and fasting. Now he has a lot of incredible insights because Jesus says something profound. He says, all things are possible for those who believe. Okay? Let's go to in Matthew, we have the same situation, but there's a bit more detail as well in the Matthew account. So when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal them. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And now let's look at Jesus' reply here. He gives more detail. He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. So you're giving this mountain specific instructions and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Again, this is an incredible truth for all of us who believe. This should be our normal reality, walking in this kind of faith. It's not something that is like, wow, out there. It's something that should be the way you and I today live as children of God. The righteous will live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So here's something that is so, I think so, it's like the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm inviting you for this to be real. It's not just going to be a fridge magnet. It's not just going to be a story in the Bible. And this is why, as I shared earlier on, why for myself in the past couple of weeks now, the Holy Spirit has been bringing a lot of healing and understanding in the area of faith because I need to grow in this, so as I share, others can also receive revelation and grow in it together, so that we can see what God has purposed for our towns and for our nation and our families and so forth. I think one of the things that we need to first have a look at is to get established within us that everyone here that believes that's been born again, you and I, God has given faith. We've got faith. You just don't know how to use it, or it's been blocked, or it's contaminated. And it's not, we don't know how to effectively walk and to see the power of faith working through our lives. I think a well-known portion is at Ephesians 2. And I want to emphasize something in Ephesians 2, because you'll notice very, very often faith, truth, and grace are always mentioned together. Very important to understand that. And we'll explain more as we continue. So here we see in Ephesians 2 that famous portion of how God came and how we got born again and how we got taken out of the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God. We're no longer under the authority of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the demonic Satan, etc. We used to live like that and follow the desires, because the power of sin was not broken yet in our lives, only it's broken in faith in Jesus. But then he goes on and he says over here, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So here is a well-known portion of scripture where we see there that there was a time in our lives where the Holy Spirit was giving us knowledge. When the Holy Spirit was speaking to us a truth concerning Jesus, when Jesus, when the Father was becoming real, when God was coming real to us, what was taking place? That was God's involvement, that's grace, but there was a faith as we were hearing information, as the Holy Spirit was sharing with us something about how real Jesus is, that's truth. See, so faith comes from hearing. So as we are hearing, God is birthing a faith within us, and we received, and we believed, we took hold of it, so we responded in the grace of God and the faith that's a gift from God. We participated in that, and that was, we will say, we got born again by the Holy Spirit. We got born again from above by the Holy Spirit. And from then onwards, God was very real. We have a relationship with God. So we see there that it's a gift that you and I have. God has never taken that gift out of us. We have received the faith. We have the Holy Spirit within us. So we've got faith inside of us. Another well-known portion I've often mentioned is 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me just read there in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God, this again is, we have received that gift of righteousness. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation. And in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, and that is the righteousness of Jesus. And he says over there, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. So Peter is saying, when you received the gift of righteousness, Jesus Christ, you received the faith, just like our faith. So you and I, when we got born again, we have received a faith. And that is why when in the gifts they speak about, operate in the measure of faith that you have. We've received faith. So all of us, every believer here, we have faith inside of us. It's a gift from God. So we cannot say, I don't have faith. So we need to rethink and renew our mind, because many, many people saying, I don't have faith, I don't have faith. We have faith, but we've got more unbelief. That's suffocating the faith that we have. Okay, and that is why when we see here with this father coming and his son over there, and the father says, but I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And I think all of us can experience that, all of us can identify. We believe that God is real. But all of a sudden, just like we see in the situation over here, where we see with our eyes, we see everything that's taking place, suddenly there's unbelief that creeps up and like suffocates that faith and prevents us from being able to really just move without any doubt in our heart to go forwards and to speak the word of faith that we need to speak in that situation, or to do what we need to do in the walk of faith. So all of us experience the reality of that. But it's important for you and I to acknowledge that, God, you have given us faith. If the Holy Spirit is in us, do you think there's no faith in the Holy Spirit? We have been given faith. Okay, all of us. It's in the most incredible gift that God has given to us. So we need to learn how to walk in faith. Now, back into Mark chapter 9. I'm going to come back to Peter. Here we notice in Mark 9, where we see over there that the Father speaks about, I believe, but help my unbelief. What was taking place? What was taking place in the disciples' minds? What was taking place in the disciples' feelings and emotions? All the arguments, there's all this that's taking place. The demon's not leaving. What was the real struggle over here? And this is important for us to identify, because this is what takes place. We believe there's a truth that we have received from God. The Word of God says that, for instance, Christ took upon Himself all our sicknesses and diseases. Psalm 103, forget not the benefits of salvation, who heals all our sicknesses and diseases. So there's a powerful truth involved that we believe. But yet, we've got the symptoms, yet we've got the pain, yet we've got these conditions, yet we see sick people all around. So what's taking place? It's a battle of truth. Because the Word of God has said something, but now there's a battle, there's another truth that is speaking into our lives, and that truth now is starting to persuade us, it's starting to suffocate, it's starting to come against the truth of the Word of God. And this is where the unbelief starts to come in. Because all of a sudden there's a battle of truth, there's a battle of knowledge. So it's not that we don't have faith. The real reality is that we do not have the correct truth now operating in our lives. Because we are misplacing God's truth with another truth. And so this is what we start to see. And a good teaching, again, it always comes back to the parable of the sower. Because what's the parable of the sower all about? Jesus speaks, and it's in Matthew. Just go to, I think it's Matthew 13. Yeah, Matthew 13. Jesus gives that parable of the sower. And he says over here, he replied, the knowledge. So he's speaking about truth, that the Holy Spirit is speaking about the truth of the Word of God. He's speaking about the truth that He's sharing, the Father's words to the people over there. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak in parables. And then it gives understanding over there, because they're not hearing, because they've hardened their hearts. But then he carries on and he starts to explain the parable. And he says there, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, it's stolen. So there's a knowledge, there's a revelation, but there's no understanding. So here we're starting to see the effects that we don't, it's not a faith issue, we believe, but the battle is about the knowledge, the understanding, and that truth being replaced by what we see or hear, etc. And he carries on. So if we don't understand, so it's important when the Holy Spirit communicates the truth to us, it's important for you and I to get the understanding. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. If we don't get the understanding, then that truth, we're not going to walk in that faith. We're not going to walk in that truth. Okay, so it's important to get understanding. And when we look at the understanding, we have to start to say, what really is our understanding of this truth? Is it based on tradition of man? Is it based on tradition of denominationalism? Is it based on tradition of culture? On whatever it may be, we have to now spend the time in the Word of God. Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth. I need understanding. What are you actually saying here? And it takes a while, because you can't just take one specific scripture. We've got to research. We've got to look at the whole Word of God and start to put it together and see what God is saying to you and I. And then we know the parable of the sower. Then it carries on. There's a truth that we received, and look what takes place. All the time, everything is trying to strangle that truth, to suffocate that truth from bearing fruit. So the worries of life, etc., the shallowness of relationship with God, etc., all of these conditions of the heart is what's taking place that's fighting against the truth. So we notice over there that when we're speaking about the knowledge of God and we're speaking about faith, that's a real battle that you and I are facing. Another and powerful scripture over here is in Philemon. Let me just read that quickly as well, Philemon chapter 1. But I want to do a direct translation from the Greek rather. It's a bit easier. The English doesn't really put it nicely together. In Philemon 1, you might say, where is Philemon? It's after Titus, okay. You might it's one little page, so you really might battle to find it. But he says over here to Philemon, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Now, the correct wording is that we may participate, we may use this faith, and it says over there that our faith, that as we use our faith, faith may become more effective in the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in us in Christ. What's in us? And that's what we looked at last Sunday. And faith, this gift of faith, is so that we can acknowledge, we can start to get understanding, we can get into agreement what is in us by the Holy Spirit. And so that we can begin to participate, we can begin to receive what's in our spirit man, and to start to be able to live from there. And this is the incredible reality. That's why again we see this. What's in us we don't understand, we don't know, lack of knowledge, lack of revelation by the Holy Spirit. It blocks faith. We don't know, it's called ignorance. Another word. So when we speak about unbelief, I have faith, I believe you in God, but help me overcome my unbelief. So when we're speaking about unbelief, one aspect of unbelief is what we would say, ignorance. It's a lack of revelation, a lack of knowledge. My people perish because of lack of knowledge, ignorance. And as we see in the parable of the sower, sometimes a lack of ignorance because we just stubbornly harden our heart and we just refuse. That was part of the history of Israel. And the good heart receives. So we come over here and we realize there that many times we just don't know. And so we're walking in darkness, we're walking and we're battling in life, we're struggling in life, we just don't know the truth yet. So Paul prays, he says, Father, all the time, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation that they can understand your ways, understand your will, so they can live a life that pleases and honors you. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. Give us this so we can live a life that pleases you. So he's praying for the family of God to get understanding of truth. So when we read these scriptures, for instance, going back into Peter, and we see so many incredible truths that are going to be exploding in our lives right now. His divine power, or grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge, again, of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good question to ask. Is it really because I don't have faith, or is it just because of not having the correct knowledge? And that knowledge, that incorrect knowledge, is what's causing me to not believe in the real truth of God that He has spoken. Because remember the definition of faith, persuasion. Are we persuaded by God, or are we persuaded by other truths, other information and knowledge and understanding? And that's what we're looking at over there. So Peter writes over there, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then he says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory. So everything that we need as children of God to be able to live in this life, knowledge. Jesus is the truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. It's a truth that comes from the Holy Spirit concerning Jesus Christ, everything that we need, and we by faith receive that. And the more the Holy Spirit reveals to us, back to the parable of the sower, if we do not take hold of what the Holy Spirit has revealed and not walk in that there, we don't get any more. So our Christian walk is very limited. But the more we receive what's happening and we apply that, we're walking by faith. And then the more we're going to get, and the more fruitful, and the more productive we come. And so this is what Peter is writing over here. And he says over there, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, through this knowledge, the revelation that the Holy Spirit is giving to you and I, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add this God-given faith that we have. Add to this faith. What are we adding to this faith? Goodness. Okay, to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's His intimacy, it's His knowing Him that we're speaking about. This is the knowledge that we're speaking about. It's not just information, it's knowing Him. So here we have there's so many scriptures that we can speak about, but here we have where Jesus comes and He says to the disciples, if you believe, remember when He came down and He entered into Jerusalem and He was going to the temple and there was that fig tree and He cursed that fig tree. And again He spoke and He says that if you really believe and you don't have doubt in your heart, whatever you say and whatever you ask for, it will be done. So we've looked at ignorance, we've looked at the lack of knowledge, we've looked at the lack of the Holy Spirit giving us revelation, and very, very often is because we're not spending time in the Word of God. We're not spending time with Him. You will find this when you're helping people. And that's why it's important that we can be equipped to help people, because many, many times people will come and they're struggling in life. But they're not prepared to spend the time in the Word of God and to ask God, help me. What are you saying? Give me an answer. They want you to come and fix it. But there's no faith in their heart to be able to receive the divine fixing. You know, that's why discipling is a huge need at the moment. The other part of unbelief is what we mentioned on Wednesday. It's not lack of knowledge, it's not ignorance, but it's where we have misplaced truth. Where instead of believing in what the Word of God says, we've placed it into some other truth that is not the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is alive, it's active. The Word of God is spirit and truth. And many, many times we have placed our confidence, we have been persuaded by another truth that we are hearing. And as a result of that, unbelief creeps up. And then it doesn't work. Faith doesn't work. So in our context today, you've got how many political parties speaking their truth? And we can get so confused. We can get so, into that. But God already spoke to us before when He said to you and I, do we really believe that His kingdom is more powerful than these little kingdoms that have been promoted? Where is our faith? Where is our truth? Are we in a kingdom that's an everlasting kingdom that's got a most incredible future? Or are we putting ourselves in a kingdom that's man-made? Where is our confidence? Where is our faith? So now we're putting confidence in what the people are saying, what takes place. Now we're going to be praying in the name of Jesus, and we're going to be praying, from this kind of groundbound level, instead of praying with a heart full of faith, God, Your kingdom is a mighty kingdom. We're in Your kingdom. And we're here to seek first Your kingdom. And Your will is what all people to be born again. And we start to pray from a place of people being born again. We start to pray from a place of the grace and truth being released through Jesus Christ. We start to pray from the place, what has the blood of Christ done in redeeming a whole nation? It's a different authority that we operate from. Not in the place of fear and confusion. So very often we have misplaced our knowledge into something that is not the Word of God. It's the enemy came and deceived Adam and Eve just like that. Misplaced truth. It happens to you and I. He tried with Jesus, but Jesus did not fall into that there. He stuck to truth. Destroyed the enemy's attack on his life over there. So you and I, it's so important for you and I to be aware of taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Jesus. Otherwise, we're going to put our confidence in something else. And that's why it's important as we look at religion, we look at politics, we look at philosophy, we look at all these things that are all around all the time. And we have to ask ourselves, am I being persuaded to take my thoughts away from what God has spoken? Am I starting to place it onto all that stuff? Faith will not work. Faith will not work. We can pray until we bloom in our faith, but if we have misplaced knowledge, it's no longer in Christ Jesus. This is where God will expose and help us, and I find in my own life, there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit shows in these areas. Okay. And unfortunately, religion has played a big role in this. Because of doctrines that we have that very often are doctrines that is to justify unbelief. Ouch. You see. God doesn't do this, He can't do this, He can't do this. And Jesus says, if, nothing's impossible with me for those who believe. Oh, let me just tear that up the page quickly at the Bible. That I don't like. It would rather just be a fridge magnet. See, and we are challenged by the teaching of Jesus, when He just simply says, listen, if your prayers aren't being answered, it's because you've got unbelief or lack of understanding in one area of all this. He doesn't play around because He loves us too much. And then the other area where we find unbelief working very powerfully in our lives is just like these disciples and just like that situation where there's all the noise around us, there's all the shouting, there's all the evidence that we are seeing with our eyes and what we're hearing. There's all the religious legalistic arguments taking place and all of that, the spirit of religion all working and all these things. And what takes place is like there's it's like a human disbelief that creeps in. What our senses are saying. And our senses are contradicting truth that Jesus said. And this is the common one that you and I face. So when someone is sick, we pray for someone that's sick and they don't get healed. And our senses, our fears come up. What are they going to think now because they're not healed? Comes up. They're going to be so disappointed now because they're not healed, and now I believed and I said they're going to get healed. It's not, oh. What happens now? All of this natural kind of senses and thoughts and all that start to creep up because it's not working as we hoped it to work, what we believed it to work. And I think all of us can share many testimonies in that. With the physical, what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, what we sense with our senses, that speaks louder than the truth from Jesus' very mouth and heart. And that's an area where a lot of the times one needs healing from because of the wounded heart, past experiences, failures, tried, it didn't work. Very often that wounded heart prevents us from really listening, but God, I'm too scared to trust you in that there. It's too vulnerable. I can't trust you over there because of this and this and this and that. There's a lot of misplaced truth because of experiences, etc., that are still in us. And this is where God wants to heal as well. So this is why today is the time where our Father wants to just share a little bit, and He wants to just about, He wants to bring healing. And I think I'll carry on next week, because there's more to share on how this faith works. But we'll do that next week, because I see time is going, and there's a lot of insight there to share. Is this helping? And I think we can all identify with this. Oh boy, I'll be top of the class. Unfortunately, like for many of us, we have to lead, and we do things like that causes us to fall many times, but we're willing to try and learn, and and that's why the pioneering side is such a big part. So there's a healing. Is truth, revelation, because with the healing comes truth, and truth sets free, and it's part of the healing. And there's a lot that's going to be taking place as we learn how to walk in faith. So every little incident today, that's the Holy Spirit's classroom to teach us faith. Are we going to be persuaded by that, or are we going to be persuaded that our God, who He is, and to receive that and to walk in that. And then we understand, Dickie, that scripture that you've mentioned a few times, that forceful men and women take hold of the kingdom of God. You see, now we're going to be forceful with our thoughts. We're going to be forceful with our faith. We're going to be forceful with our senses and our emotions and all that there, and we're going to bring them under the captivity of our Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, this is what you say. That takes force. That takes the grace of God, the discipline that is needed to not allow our thoughts to wander and suffocate faith. So you and I, every little lesson is part of that. Every situation is just to teach us how to grow in faith, how to understand how this faith works. So there's a lot of grace to...